Story about Pastor Kenny, but it's a blessing to be a part of anybody surrendering to do anything, amen, for the Lord,
amen,
and I really appreciate that. So, well, my name is Jay Dempsey. I know some of you, I don't know all of you. The Lord saved me on January 31st, 1988, as a 38-year-old man on Super Bowl Sunday, amen, and they still have a pretty big football game in honor of my salvation every year, amen. So that's good. My wife Janet, sitting about four rows back there, she got saved about 3 weeks before I did. So I guess she needed it worse, amen. But but all that came about from her mother and my mother-in-law. And Brother Caleb, I still can't hardly see here, amen. And but she got saved about a year before we did. And we were living down in Florida, and she would come over and visit with us. And she would bring a Bible a little bit bigger than this one and throw it down on our kitchen table and tell us how wicked we were, amen. And I would say, isn't it about time for you to leave, you know? And but she just kept on and on and on. And finally, she invited Janet over to church. All she wanted for her birthday was for Janet to come to church with her. And she did. And she ended up getting saved. Amen. And about 3 weeks later, I got saved. Amen. And but you do know the difference between your mother-in-law and a terrorist, don't you? You can negotiate with a terrorist. But there was no negotiating with her, amen. But God called me to preach in 1990. And I surrendered full-time in September 1st, 1997. And I've got a testimony track out there on the table. I borrowed a little bit of Brother Keogh's table there, and you can read about my testimony. But you'll see that I left a six-figure income job to go into ministry full-time, amen. And it's the best decision I ever made, amen. Best decision I ever made. And then in July 1998, I began working stateside with Charity Baptist Foundation full-time, and then surrendered to go to Canada. We spent 20 years in Canada. And for several reasons, we're back in the States now, and I'm a member of Lebanon Baptist there in Lebanon, Ohio. And we support 94 missionaries in our church there, and I'm the missions director also, and I preach several times there at that church. And then the Lord allowed me to start a ministry called Encouraging the Local Church to Reach the Regions Beyond. So, you know, the Lord gives me opportunities to preach missions conferences like this, which I certainly enjoy. It's my passion. And so it just kind of keeps us busy. And I also represent Word for the World Baptist Ministries. And Word for the World, they help missionaries all over the world get to where they're going, and also helping them once they get there. So all that's out on the table. My wife and I have a prayer card out there, so help yourself to that. And but it's just good to be here. I appreciated the Sunday school lesson, amen. And I appreciate Brother Kenny and Brother Legault. I'd like to say I've been friends with him for years. Thank you for the invitation, amen. And it's just good to see the Sturtzes. I know them pretty well. And Brother Keogh, I'm looking forward to getting to know him a little bit better. And we've met somewhere, but we don't know where, you know. And when you get our age, that's what happens, amen. Amen. So just good to be here today, and I'm looking forward to see what the Lord's going to do. Maybe there's someone in here that this is the week that you surrender to the Lord, amen, because you do know what God wants you to do. I knew for years what God wanted me to do. I just wouldn't do it, amen, but I'm glad I finally did it. So let's get on. Let's take your Bible, and if you would, go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I've got the enjoyable task this week of talking to you about faith promise, the faith promise concept of giving to missions. And I enjoy doing that, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. As Brother Neil said this earlier, I believe this is the most important meeting of the year that you have. Because what we do here this week, it's going to last all year. The decisions you make with your faith promise will last all year long. And I believe this is probably the most important missions conference the church has ever had, because I'll tell you, this world's it's a mess, amen. And you might say, well, it's a little better now with the president-elect, whatever. But you know what? God is still in control. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. So we just need to get missionaries to the field as quickly and as soon as we possibly can, amen. Amen. So as I talk about faith promise this week, I want you to have one key question in your mind all week. And that question is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? So let's begin to read in 1 Samuel 17, and we'll start reading in verse 20. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. You know, you can find preaching on missions all through the Bible, amen? And here's some good places. Verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and he shouted for the battle. So you can see here David's excited about going into battle, amen? We should be excited about getting into battle. We should be convicted. We should have a cause. There should be some confidence that we go when we go to do what we do, amen. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And I think about fixed bayonets, amen. They were face to face and they were battling, and it was quite a battle. Verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. And behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. It's like all the men, you know, they saw this guy and they were afraid of him. And, you know, many of us, we see the giant of religion and we flee. We can talk with a perfect stranger about our jobs. We can talk with a perfect stranger about sports. But when it comes to spiritual things, the devil plants a seed of fear in us, and we become afraid. And we run, and we don't get involved in that. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? So the Israelites had forgotten that their God's bigger than the giant, amen. Bible does say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So David takes offense. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Goliath was cursing David, and he was cursing God. Do you take offense when someone takes the name of your God in vain? Come on. Amen? Drop down to verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. So you know the story back in chapter 16 where Eliab, he was angry with David because Eliab thought he should be the king. In verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And that's what I would like you to think about all this week. Is there not a cause? Many independent Baptists today do not see the cause of faith promise giving missions. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful to be here, Lord. I pray you'd just bless the message. Lord, I pray you would get the Holy Spirit of God would just move around in this place and just prick the hearts of the people. And Lord, there's someone here, Lord, that you probably have already tapped on their shoulder, and they know that they need to do more for you. God, I remember when I got when I surrendered, it was like I'm the only one that was in the auditorium that day. So Lord, would you help us? Help us as we hear. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll never forget the day I surrendered to go in full-time ministry. We had a missionary come. And thank God we had a missionary-minded church. Amen. They had missionaries come in. Amen. And the missionary came, and I didn't know he was coming, and he preached that morning a message about, sometimes God has to call 1,000 just to get one. And he came right down off the platform, and I'm on the front row. He said, could you be that one? Temperature went up about 20 degrees in that church. I could feel the back of my hair just raising up. I mean, it was just, I was uncomfortable because I knew I was the one. And God probably hadn't called everybody in here to surrender or to preach or to go to a mission field, but there might be one.
That's right.
Amen. And not only do I hope that we can increase faith promise this week, but I hope somebody will surrender to go to a mission field. There's a huge need. So that preacher messed up my entire Sunday afternoon. I could not get that off my mind. We come back that night, and the first person I see when I come through the back door, the doors of the church, is that missionary. I said, honey, I don't think I can do this again. I don't think I can stay. She says, we're not leaving. Aren't your wives great? Amen. Amen. I'm not leaving. So we endured to the end. That night he preached about that lady who gave that ointment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of the disciples didn't like it, or one of them anyway. And he said, leave her alone. She hath done what she could. He's back down again, and I'm like an idiot sitting on the front row again. And he's about that far from my nose. Have you done all that you could do? Guilty. Guilty. I'd done a lot, but I hadn't done all I could do. And it was that night that I surrendered. I said, Lord, I know I'm in corporate America. I'm in a good position. I'm working my way up. But if you'll get me out, I'll get in. And that day that I got all the way in was the closest I ever came to getting all the way out. I was just getting sick of me. Somebody might know what I mean. I told my brother-in-law that. I said, I was just getting sick of me. He says, what took you so long? I've been sick of you for years, amen. But God knows who he's talking to. And no doubt, as mission-minded as this church is, there's probably someone in here that God has dealt with about going to a mission field. Amen. I mean, there is a cause for someone to go to Ukraine. There is a call to someone to transport these scriptures. There's a cause for someone to go to Eastern Europe and sow the seed. Amen. I'll never forget Brother Sturtz. We've had a privilege to go on three of their campaigns. And he says, hey, this is a seed sowing campaign. That's what we're here to do. Man, in Moldova, we were over there, I can't remember the year, but we got out 8 tons of gospel literature. 8 tons in 2 weeks. We had over 1,000 people at a meeting. You couldn't even hardly get any more people in the room there. And hundreds got saved. So there's a cause. There's a cause. There's a cause for someone to go to all different types of countries. But I'm afraid many do not see the cause. Therefore, they do not believe in the cause. And therefore, they do not support the cause. Allow me to use some history to prove my point. And my point is, if you see the cause, and you understand the cause, and you believe the cause, you'll support it. I get amen there?
Amen.
You support things that you believe in? Sure you do. On December 7th, 1941, Japanese forces bombed Pearl Harbor. We became the victims of a well-calculated surprise attack on our own soil. America was under attack. Americans were outraged and insulted. Who are these people that they should defy the armies of the United States of America? A few days later, when President Roosevelt declared war, Americans from border to border cheered the decision. We'll show Japan and the world that they can't come on our soil and kill our soldiers without paying the price. Our freedom was at stake. Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Arthur Schlesinger was quoted, and I quote, "Roosevelt brought together the American people and united them in a common cause as no one ever had before. Victory was the only option. If they had accepted anything less, the world would be a very different place today. Not even Adolf Hitler and the armies of the Third Reich could stand against our country once we were united. Our military and civilians were willing to do anything they could. Why? Because they saw the cause. When you see the cause and you believe in the cause, you'll do anything you can to support that cause. Our military was trained, and they could not wait to get into the battle because there was a cause. Our civilians were willing to sacrifice because there was a cause. Fuel was rationed because we needed to send fuel to our troops so they could fight. Food was rationed because we needed to make sure our brave troops were fed. I didn't mean to say Trump. I have read that ladies were asked not to hem their dresses or the trousers of their men because there was a shortage in cloth, and we wanted to make sure our brave troops had plenty of cloth for their uniforms. Amen. Americans gave up food, they gave up fuel, and they gave up fashion. Why? There was a cause. Sacrifices would be made all over the country because there was a cause, and they believed in the cause, and people were willing to sacrifice because they understood the cause. Lives were at stake. The war was won. The boys came home as heroes because there was a cause. There were ticker tape parades in our larger cities. Even our small towns would have a hero's welcome for their hometown boys. We pulled together. United we stand. One nation under God. Sacrifices were made. Why? Because there was a cause. We understood the cause, so we were willing to do anything we could to support that cause. Concerning Faith Promise missions, if only people could see the cause. Amen. Taking the gospel to the uttermost part of the world is the greatest cause we can possibly think of. Souls are at stake. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." See, the church needs to get behind this cause. And you need to do it this week. Amen. This week. There is a cause as far as the Lord is concerned. September 11th, 2001. In another historical account, America came under attack again. The World Trade Center. Once again, Americans were insulted. This time by a terrorist plot that was well organized, well planned, well financed, and it was secretive. We were outraged at such a thing could happen to the United States. And the enemy used our own planes as missiles. America pulled together, and they were overjoyed when our president declared war on terrorism in any country that harbored terrorists. Why overjoyed? There was a cause. There was a cause. The people of America understood the cause, so they were willing to do whatever they could to support the cause. Once again, our freedom was at stake. America was united for the first time in almost 70 years. There were prayer vigils, candlelight services, flag waving, stores sold out of the American flags, In God We Trust signs everywhere. Firemen and policemen were heroes. There was a cause. When you see the cause and you believe in the cause, you would do anything to support the cause. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is a cause. Do you see it? Do you believe it? Do you understand it? If Christians today supported Faith Promise missions like Americans supported World War II and the World Trade Center attacks, we would be winning the battle for souls. But I'm afraid that many do not see the cause. This is a great mission-minded church, and it would be very easy for you as an individual to say, my church supports missionaries, and they're great. And you could say that, and you could not support anything as far as the missions goes. There's a cause. People do not support the cause of missions because they simply do not believe the cause. Many never even see that there is a cause. Do you understand? Do you see the importance of missions? David said, is there not a cause? Remember back in Chile in 2010? When those miners were trapped, 33 of them. Anyone who had access to a TV was probably glued to it for at least five of those 33 rescues. I would say that for a brief time, the country of Chile and the whole world was united. I thought that it was great that those miners were rescued. There was a cause. I'm sorry. There was a cause, and the government understood the cause. Therefore, they supported the cause. Why? Lives were at stake. I doubt at any time the statement was made, well, this costs too much. Or do you think we can afford to go to the expense to save these miners? Of course not, because those 33 men, they depended on the government of Chile to rescue them. And money was never a factor. Now, as I preach the next few nights, I'm going to have to mention money because God uses us to supply money to get His missionaries to where they need to go.
That's right.
But that should never be a factor for you. If you're in touch with God, if you have a relationship with Him, and you ask Him, what should I do? And He tells you, you should do it. You should do it. One more, the Vietnam conflict. In the 60s, in direct contrast with World War II and the World Trade Center, our country was engaged in a different type of war, the Vietnam War. This was a political war America had not been attacked, so therefore many did not understand why we were even at war. To many Americans, there was no cause to be at war. We went there to help another country maintain its freedom, but we left before the job was finished. Similar to Afghanistan recently. Victory was never realized. We lost many, many courageous soldiers, and those soldiers were just as courageous as any other soldier in any other war. However, our civilians were not willing to sacrifice this time because they did not understand the cause. Why were we at war? Many burned the American flag instead of waving it. Many left this country and went to Canada. Many refused to join the military. Many did not care because our freedom was not in jeopardy. Our boys were not treated as heroes when they came home. They were told as soon as they land at the airport, get out of their uniforms. They'll be ridiculed. They'll be criticized. No hometown parades, no hometown celebrations. When our fighting men returned home, they got out of their uniforms as quickly as they could. When Americans could not see the cause, therefore they did not believe in the cause, so many never did support the cause. Many independent Baptists today look at missions the same as many years ago looked at the Vietnam War. You will not support something that you do not understand. Why is it that so many do not understand faith promise missions? We're commanded to tell people about Christ. We're commanded to sow the seed. If I were to ask you today, how do you treat missions? How would you answer? Would you tell me that you totally support missions as Americans supported World War II and the World Trade Center? Or would you say, you know, I really don't know what this is all about? That is what many said in the 60s concerning Vietnam. That is why we're having a missions conference. Just to remind you that there is a cause. There is a cause. In case you have forgotten, there is a cause. About 6,000 years ago, in the Garden of Eden, sin attacked this world, and it's been under attack ever since. Now, if you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, but sin still abounds. In case you haven't noticed, there's a battle going on. And somebody needs to fight that battle. The Lord understood the battle well enough to die for the cause. Do you understand the cause? There is a cause, you know. All through the Bible, God raised up men to go to war against sin. They understood the cause. There was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, and David, and Solomon, the major prophets, and the minor prophets, and Peter, James, and John, and Paul. There was David Brainerd. He saw the cause. As he ministered to the Indian tribes up in this area, he said, I want to wear out my life in his service and for his glory. And he died at age 29. Hudson Taylor saw the cause. He gave 51 years of service to the China Inland Mission and personally led over 35,000 people to the Lord. Taylor said, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China. William Carey saw the cause. The man who God used to open the Far East. No one would send him because everyone said what he wanted to do was impossible. Just a waste of time. No one ever did what Carrie did in the Far East.
That's right.
C.T. Studd saw the cause. He was willing to give up being a professional athlete and all of his inherited fortune so he could be a missionary to three different countries. Adonai Judson, he saw the cause. Many times, smitten down with disease and at death's door, he breathed out the prayer, "Lord, let me finish my work. Spare me long enough to put thy saving word into the hands of a perishing people." 30 years after his death, the native work in Burma, which he gave birth, numbered 7,000 converts and some 63 churches. Young William Borden, heir to the Borden fortune, millionaire turned missionary, who died at age 25, wrote in his Bible, "No reserves, no retreats, no regrets." And of course, there was Moody and Spurgeon and Whitfield and Billy Sunday and Roloff and Bob Jones Sr., and I could go on and on. You know, when I get tired of the battle, as I sometimes do, the Lord reminds me of the cause. Do you know there's a cause? I wonder, are you willing to get in the battle against sin for the souls of men? Go back to 1 Samuel 17 with me again, please. Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David wasn't afraid. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David was willing to do what no other man could do that day.
Right.
And here's what I really want you to see from this passage, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why? "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That's missions. That all the earth may know. David realized that God provides the real cause. The cause was not simply for David to kill Goliath, but that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. David could not have possibly killed that giant without the help of Almighty God. And now the Israelites, David couldn't have possibly killed that giant without the help of God. And now all the Israelites know that. David said, "Is there not a cause?" Sure there is, David. "That all the earth may know that there is a God." That's why we're here. If we don't go tell all the earth that there is a God, who is? Whether it be here, overseas, wherever. By the grace of God, missionaries spend their lives in different parts of the world so that people of those lands can know that there is a God. A God that can change their lives like He changed ours. A God that can forgive their sins and assure them of an eternity in heaven. A God that can take their burdens and make them light. A God that can provide for every need that they have. A God that can release them from bondage. A God that can give them a rest. That's wonderful. That's what missionaries want to do. They want to tell these people those things. Through Faith Promise Missions, we can help the world know that there is a God. Amen. Missionaries want the privilege and honor of introducing people all over the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory. The light of the world. He's living water. The Ancient of Days, the bright morning star. He's altogether lovely. He's the chiefest among 10,000. The hope of mankind, the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh, the mighty God, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the rock on which I stand, and most importantly, He's my Savior. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? This week we can help them go. There is a cause. With the support of churches just like yours, all the earth may know that there is a God. How else will they know? Do you understand the cause?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe in the cause?
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to support the cause? I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking and planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf gods. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotions, plaudits, or prosperity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow and my way rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, and prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. That was written by a young African pastor and tacked on the wall of his home shortly before he was martyred for Jesus Christ. Yes, David, there is a cause. Do you believe the cause? Do you understand it? Are you willing to support it? I guess we'll find out Wednesday night. I want to close with a story about a fellow by the name of Frank Jenner. If you've heard this story before, just bear with me. It all started at a Baptist church in South London after service. A man stood up in the back and he asked to give a short testimony. The preacher said, "You have 3 minutes." I've had people come into my church in Canada want to give a testimony, and I've said 3 minutes. This guy stood up. He says, "I used to live in Sydney, Australia, and I was walking in the business district down on George Street. A white-haired man stepped out from a shop, and he asked me, as he gave me a pamphlet, "If you die tonight, would you go to heaven?" I was shocked, the man said. No one had ever asked me that before. I thanked him, and I was puzzled, so I contacted a Christian friend, and he led me to Jesus Christ. Everybody just applauded. 2 weeks later, that Baptist pastor from the London area went on a 3-day meeting in Alderlane. He had a woman come up to him for counseling, and he asked her if she was saved. She said she used to live in Sydney, and a white-haired man stepped out from a shop down on George Street, and as he gave me a pamphlet, he said, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" When I got home, I contacted the pastor of a Baptist church on the next block from where I live, and he led me to Christ. Twice in 2 weeks, this pastor from South London had heard the same testimony. While still in Australia, that pastor then flew to a church in Perth. After church, the senior deacon took him out for a meal. The pastor asked him how he got saved. "Well, I was on a business trip in Sydney, Australia. This white-haired man down on George Street jumped out at me, handed me a pamphlet, said, 'If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?' I told him I was a deacon, but he didn't seem to care. When I got home, while talking with my pastor, I found I did not have a personal relationship with Christ. I got saved. The London preacher flew home, and while teaching at a convention, he threw in these three testimonies. At the close of the teaching, four elderly pastors came up and explained that they too had been saved 25 to 30 years earlier because of a gray-haired man on George Street. The following week, the London pastor flew to a missionary convention in the Caribbean. He shared these testimonies. At the close of the teaching, three missionaries came forward. They said, "While we were down in Sydney, Australia, we were walking down on George Street, and this white-haired man just comes out at me, gives us a pamphlet, says, 'If you died tonight, would you be saved?'" They got saved. Next, this pastor from South London, he stopped in Atlanta to speak at a Navy chaplain convention. He spoke to over 1,000 naval chaplains. Afterwards, he went out to eat with this chaplain general. "How did you get saved?" "Well, while living a reprobate life while on ship, we docked in Sydney." Anybody guess what happened? "It scared me to death when he asked me that. And I got back to the ship. The chaplain led me to the Lord. I am now in charge of 1,000 chaplains." 6 months later, that London pastor flew to a conference of 5,000 East Indian missionaries in India. At the end of the conference, the head missionary took him to the home and took him to his home, and the Baptist preacher asked him how he was converted from Hindu to Christian. He says, "I traveled the whole world, and one day I was in Sydney, and I was walking down on George Street. And this gray-haired man, you know the story. I went home and contacted a Christian missionary, and he led me to the Lord. I am now in charge of 5,000 missionaries who have led over 100,000 to the Lord." 8 months later, that London pastor was preaching in Sydney. He asked the local Baptist minister if he knew of a little elderly white-haired man who handed out tracts on George Street. He replied, "Yeah, I know him. His name is Mr. Jenner. Although I don't think he does it anymore because he's old, old and frail, and he's not able to do it." 2 nights later, they went to visit him in his little apartment. He was very frail, and his hands shook. The London preacher sat there and told him of all these accounts from previous years. The little man sat with tears coming down his cheeks. He told them that one day, as a reprobate in a crisis, a man led him to Jesus and changed his life within 24 hours. He says, "I promised God that I would share Jesus in a simple witness with at least 10 people a day. As God gave me the strength, I did that. I've done that now for over 40 years. In my retirement years, the best place was on George Street, and I saw hundreds of people a day. I got lots of rejections, but a lot of people courteously took the tract. In 40 years of doing this, I have never heard of one single person coming to Jesus until this day." That simple little man witnessed to perhaps 150,000 people. Mr. Jenner died 2 weeks after this visit that they had. Can you imagine the reward that he went home to in heaven? No one except a little group of Baptists in Sydney knew about Mr. Jenner. But I'll tell you, his name is famous in heaven. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I believe Mr. Jenner saw the cause. Yes, David. There is a cause. In the next few nights, as I get an opportunity to preach, I will show you from the scriptures how you can be part of the greatest cause on the face of this earth. Amen. And that there is a way for you to help missionaries all over the world proclaim the gospel, that all the earth may know that there is a God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, there is a cause. I'm not sure if you individually know about that cause. If not, you should be at this altar talking to him during the invitation. You know, it's a new year, but the cause is the same. So God, as we have a time of invitation, I pray you deal with hearts, deal with lives. And Lord, help us see the cause. Help us understand the cause. And Lord, more than anything, help us to support the cause of Faith Promise Missions.